Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, the weekend's over, American. It's Tuesday, and it's afternoon. I guess it's Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio.
No, I think we lost Annie for a minute. So I'm sure she'll get her mic and be back in action. There you are, Annie.
Agile. Right. But I was saying, if it's Tuesday and it's the afternoon, and then it's Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio, I'm your hostess with the mostest, and my I forgot who I am. Annie the radio chick. Oh, God. You got to pardon me, Mike. I mean, I have been going nonstop since yesterday. I know I was texting you some messages, but I have to make an emergency run down to Florida to handle some business for my mother. So I was racing around the house getting things put together and trying to get the show notes put together. And I was up until 1:30 in the morning. And you know what? We may soon have a special announcement, hopefully in the next week or two, but out of the blue, someone sent me a message, and I didn't see it until a couple of days afterwards, but someone else wants to pick up the show, someone that's got a wide syndication. So we may be joining that new team also. So not only will we be on TeaPartyCommunity.com, Kinetic Hi-Fi out of Charleston, South Carolina, on Stitcher, Spreaker, iTunes, on Patriot Radio Network, we will have also now another huge, large presence that's picking us up and blasting us across the airwaves. But I can't say who yet. I just got to finalize the details and see what's going on. But I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. I never thought this one group would even consider our tiny little show.
You know, Annie, that was horrible. You just said that. You're now just you're just leading everybody along now with the carrot or whatever. It's like, but I can't say what is going on.
Not
trying to say, everyone, is that Lenny may be replacing George Stephanopoulos on Saturday on Sunday morning. So we're going to be losing her soon. But anyway, welcome everyone. Great to be here with Annie, the Radio Chick, and Cool Mike for the Tuesday, the May the 20th. Welcome everybody on BTR, listening also on Kinetic Hi-Fi. And if they're listening on what we're not supposed to say, but Annie already said, but she said she couldn't say because she couldn't say, welcome to them too. Annie?
All right. Just got, pardon me. Excuse me. I got some furballs.
All right. I already got the chats. What's going on? What's the big story? Oh, Lord help us, Annie. Look what you've created in our chat.
Oh, man. We got a great guest coming on about quarter after the hour, Kyrkos Zouras, and he is a phenomenon. He is a small business turnaround specialist, and at the age of 46, he made enough money where he could sit back and retire and do what he wanted to do. And he's also a prominent TV commentator, all seen on CNN, Fox News, Rick Amato Show. So sitting on the phone listening in. So let's get rocking and rolling here, Mike. Want to do our dedication?
Alrighty.
All right. Our dedication today is going to go out to Army Command Sergeant Major Martin R. Baceris, who died just 1 week ago today on May 13th, from wounds suffered 2 weeks ago today on May 6th from small arms fire while supporting Operation Enduring Freedom. And this is from Tucson News Now. Governor Jan Brewer has asked all Arizonans to lower their flags at half-staff in honor of Tucson soldier who died May 13th from wounds suffered in Afghanistan. The family of Command Sergeant Major Martin Baceris gathered at his Southside home to remember and honor the loss of a beloved son, father, brother, and grandfather. The 49-year-old Martin Baceris was a graduate of Sunnyside High School. His brother, Andy, said he was deeply moved after the 1983 terrorist bombings of the Marine barracks in Lebanon. That's when he decided to enlist. Baceris' mother said she was washing dishes when her son came home from school and told her he was enlisting. She was not too thrilled about the idea at first, but said she fully supported her son and was proud of him. Baceris became a highly decorated soldier and one of the highest-ranking enlisted soldiers serving in combat. He was the senior enlisted soldier for 2nd Battalion, 5th Infantry Regiment, which was part of the 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 1st Armored Division at Fort Bliss, Texas. His brother said Baceris did not have to be on the front lines of Operation Enduring Freedom, but he chose to be there. Veterans at the American Legion Post 132 agreed. 49 years old, he could have been sitting behind a desk. Some say that's maybe where he belonged at that age, but no. Baceris was not that kind of guy. He wanted to be right there with his guys, said the commander of the post addressing veterans there for their regular meeting. On a night when they were hosting the installation of officers, members of American Legion Post 132 took off their hats, bowed their heads, and prayed for the family of Command Sergeant Major Baceris. A guy with his rank. They might be in the country, you know, but usually outside the wires, we say, that's where the people get hurt, said Bob Phillips, a veteran of the Vietnam War. Officials with the Department of Defense said Baceris was injured when enemy forces attacked his unit with small arms fire in Herat province of Afghanistan. Baceris succumbed to his injuries at the San Antonio Military Medical Center. Baceris' family described him as the kind of guy who was the first guy in, the last guy out. He had already been wounded in combat several times. Baceris was a highly decorated soldier with 3 Purple Heart medals and the Silver Bronze Stars, among others. Andy Baceris said his brother even lost a finger while serving. He showed us a sculpture they had created several years ago, showing 3 pairs of hands intertwined. He pointed out Baceris' hand, with 1 finger missing. Family members said Baceris was a humble guy who hated being in the spotlight. He did not like the fanfare of any kind. That is why they declined to go on camera, saying Baceris would have hated all of this attention. Veterans at the American Legion Post saluted his sacrifice, calling him a true American hero. He's the old guy that says, put it on me. Let me be the one to take it. It's a great loss for Tucson, a great loss for the Army, a great loss for America to lose a man like Martin Becerras. Family members are planning a memorial to honor Becerras in Tucson. Tucson News now will have the details once they are finalized. I will say further that this soldier, Sergeant Major Becerras, was on the team that rescued Jessica Lynch. He was the one who handed her off so she could be airlifted out. So this is the man we honor and remember. And we dedicate this song by Todd Allen Herndon, My Name is America. We dedicate it to all of the military and first responders who serve and have served. God bless them all.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. I stand for my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand.
Todd Allen Herndon, My Name is America. Oh, man. As we wait for our guest to call in, I want to mention to everyone that our friend Sweet Sue has joined us today. She's listening in, and we want to send her out her best wishes, hoping that she's feeling much better, and she has been in our prayers. So I'm glad to see that she's up and around again. So, Mike, we have had an exciting few days here. Are you aware of that?
I'm still singing America, it's my name. Anyway, yes. Well, I'll tell you, Annie, it seems like we go off the air, and I think our guest is coming in, but we go off the air at, say, 3:30. At 5 seconds past 3:30, some story breaks. Like, what couldn't have broken just 50 seconds ago? And, of course, from Benghazi to whatever, but as we move on with the show, I'm sure we'll have chances. Also, I do want to say Friday's show where we obviously we still talk politics, but it took a break from politics with the Wounded Warriors. I think that is such an emotional show because to see all the wonderful people doing the wonderful things at absolutely 100% their expense for our veterans, I'll tell you, there must have been two or three times during the show I had to mute myself just to wipe the tears away. It really is something. That was just a very moving show.
Yeah, and I always like highlighting groups that give 99.9% of every dollar directly into the cause to the veterans. They don't pocket a penny, and it's all done out of love. They don't get any money. Let's see if this is our caller. Good afternoon, area code 301. This is Southern Sense, your host Annie. Is this Kirikos?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
All right. I got to say, I was going over my notes last night until like around 1:30 in the morning. As soon as I get off the air here, I got to pack up my studio and head down to Florida to take care of some family business. But I'm going over all the past notes and all the past things we've done in the shows. I'm saying, geez, I mean, where do I even start with you? Well, I want to welcome you back. This is, what,
Thanks.
Your fourth or fifth appearance with us?
Yeah, I've been on several times. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you.
Yeah, and I got to admit that I knew Tony Amato when he was just a radio show like me, and I watched his studio now morph from, you know, bare bones into this nice glitzy thing, and God bless. Yeah, I mean, he's taken off like crazy.
Well, I'm surprised he came back. Now he's a big shot, you know, all these... it looks like Rush behind the gold microphone, and, of course, Annie and I are still sitting in the same studios. Great to have you back, my friend.
There you go.
All right. We've got so much that's going on, and with one scandal after another, it's you want to know where to even start because your head just starts to explode all over the place. And the latest kick they've got right now is the minimum wage.
Yeah, they are. Trying to once again divert attention from the real issues, which are all the scandals that are constantly breaking in this administration. You see, it's not in their DNA to tell the truth about anything, and they're always hiding or covering something. So they're diverting the attention now and trying to again divide us by class and wage, and now they're pushing for a not 10-10 now, it's now, you know, 15 and in some places $25 an hour for unskilled labor and, you know, low-level entry jobs that are meant to be for young people, part-time jobs, maybe a supplemental job. And then we've also got the White House talking about income inequality between men and women. And while they're doing this and getting a big campaign going, they are violating the very thing that they're trying to promote because 20% the women at the White House make 20% less than the men that work at the White House. That's a little bit ironic, isn't it?
Yeah, it
sure is.
And
they don't talk about it either. I mean, they're the ones. He was talking about this great injustice when he gave that press conference. By the way, did you see all those women behind him clapping and clapping? I mean, basically everyone who's in front, who you can't see, is making 20% less. All right?
Yeah,
but all these women behind him are.
He's a great marketer. He knows how to set a stage. He knows how to message, and that's something you got to give him credit for. He knows
okay.
how to get a message out, whether it's a truthful message or maybe a lie. He does it very well.
Well, I certainly was glad to see that Sweden voted down the $25 an hour minimum wage.
Yeah, that was a little surprising, wasn't it?
Oh, my goodness. Well, at least they got those idiots in every country. At least we know we're not alone. Quick topic change. Where's the Benghazi thing going? Finally, something is broken that obviously we know it's bullcrap. Is this going anywhere? The last time we had you on, you didn't think so.
I think it is going somewhere. You know, there was a closed door meeting with the Democrats today, and they just came out and they're saying that the consensus is that they're not really in favor of not participating because they don't think it would be in their best interest to not participate because then they wouldn't have any influence over the investigation. But they're saying that they want to make sure that it's, you know, fair and balanced. Well, it'll be fair and balanced if they participate, and I think for them not to participate, and that's the direction it's going, is that they will participate. So I think it's going somewhere. I think this has strong legs, and, you know, I think we're going to uncover some things that we didn't know before, you know, and there's a lot to uncover, I think.
You think Hillary will be the fall person?
You know what? It's got her fingerprints all over it. I mean, she made, you know, you can call it whatever you want, whether it was incompetence or mistakes or lack of action, whatever it is. I mean, it was under her rule, and she was in charge, and this happened under her watch. And she can say, what difference does it make at this point? It was this, that, or the other thing. But it makes a big difference because Americans were lost. Lives were lost. We were attacked on U.S. soil because you have to remember that consulate is considered U.S. soil, although it might be in a foreign land. And we did nothing about it, and we have yet to, according to Mr. Obama, we're going to get to the bottom of this, and we'll bring those who are responsible to justice. He's done nothing.
Absolutely, he's done nothing. And it's funny because now Hillary has come completely into the limelight. While this thing with Benghazi was breaking, Karl Rove put his thumb into the middle of the pie with his statement about Hillary and brain damage. Now, my husband happens to suffer from concussions a lot, trust me. He trips over his shoelace, he ends up with a concussion. So I know the effects on the mind. And it does affect the person's personality and mind. And is he right or wrong to bring this up into the public arena?
I think he's basically taught – well, first of all, I don't think he directly said that she has brain damage. I think he talked about that she was in the hospital and that we really don't know what it was, and they're not telling. So, but she was away for several months recovering, so to speak. So, yeah, I mean, you have to consider if somebody's running for president, then everything is on the table. People want to know about your health. Are you going to be able to fulfill your job requirements from a mental and physical health position? So if there's a question of somebody's ability to think correctly or if they're suffering some kind of ability to function properly, well, then, yeah, we need to know about it.
Well, it's true. Remember back, there was a point where she collapsed going, I think she was going to Benghazi or something like that. She was getting on board the plane. She collapsed. There was a blood clot. She fainted at another time. So there is a question about whether or not she's healthy. And if you are president of the United States, look what they did to Ronald Reagan towards the end of his term, what they did to FDR.
And John McCain, when he was running against Obama, they were questioning his age. How old is he? You know, is he going to be around? I mean, look, it's a concern it's a concern. And when there's a possibility that you're going to be running for office and it looks like she's the preordained candidate for the Democrats at this point, then I think it's a fair question. And I don't think he came out and said she has brain damage. I think there was an implication that there might be something wrong with her. And we need to find out, and nobody's talking about it. And she's not the first candidate that's been scrutinized that way or public official. It's everyone every time, and you can expect it when you throw your hat in the ring or when you are a public official.
Yeah,
I think we talk a lot about the GOP side, Rand Paul and obviously some other people. Who do you think would challenge her? You know, in many, many ways, I almost think like the machine – of the Democratic Party is so much more powerful party-wise than the GOP. Seems like once the Dems pick a candidate and they say, that's it, that is it, where the Republicans kind of got to go after each other and backstab each other, and eventually a candidate emerges.
Well, you know, there's a couple – I agree with your analysis there, but let's remember one thing. They also have the media backing them, and they put out the exact message that they want, where every time the GOP does something, the media isn't – sending out the message, they're ripping apart the message, and they're reverse engineering it and saying what's wrong with it and why this isn't going to work and that's not going to work. So the message is always a negative one. Yeah, there's a lot of fighting and discourse in the GOP right now, and there has been for many years. I think they really need to come together on a common message, and I've said this for many, many years, for over a decade. The Republicans are the absolute worst messengers that there are, and they need to get better about learning how to message correctly and using the social media and all the other tools that are out there. And if they want to take some lessons, take it from the Obama administration, because this guy, you know, I don't give him credit for a lot of things, but I'll give him credit for where its credit is due. He's an excellent marketer and messenger, and that's why he's where he is today. It's not because of ability or anything that he's actually done, but it's all about marketing and messaging. And if they can't get their marketing and messaging straight, they don't stand a chance to do anything.
You know, that's amazing, because I had my Tea Party meeting last night, and, you know, here in South Carolina, we've got Lindsey Graham's seat up for grabs, and I had one of the candidates, Lieutenant Colonel Bill Connor, happens to be a good friend of mine, and this was the message that I was trying to get out to them. I was telling them, hey, listen, you know, you're here in the meeting, go home and tell 10 other people, which is what Obama had them doing, you know, having them go home and put it up on any social network and put it out to 10 people and ask those 10 people to reach out to 10 more and 10 more. And I also have the working with the Tea Party up in New Jersey, Barbara Gonzalez at a Bayshore, on this No Rhino 2016. And I said, Barbara, you know, it's one thing we do press releases and we have it up in the social network, but what about a mobile app so that when we do these notifications, it flashes on everyone's phone? You know, that's what Obama's been doing.
He pulled out all the stops. He hired the best of the best from Google and Facebook and all the other internet gurus, so to speak, and they attacked his campaign at every single level. They were doing door-to-door, they were doing social media, they were doing robocalls, they were doing personalized calls, they were playing a psychological game where they would call people and say, you know, your three neighbors, A, B, and C, they're all voting for Obama, what are you going to do? And putting that type of peer pressure on people, and they rallied the young vote that normally doesn't come out. And let's face it, the majority of the people, that are the younger people, and I'm not blanketing everybody here, but I'm just saying, you know, they're all about this liberal, you know, well, everybody should have this, everybody should have this. So he's appealing to them. And unfortunately, it's not till later on in life when you actually get some responsibility and you have to actually work and pay your bills and maybe start your own business that you realize that government is big-handed. They get in the way. They take everything from you to give it to somebody else. And that's when some of your views start to change. But they're attacking these younger voters. That's how they did it. They came out. They didn't have a poor turnout. They had a massive turnout of young people, and he did it twice, and that's how he got reelected. He's very smart.
Yeah, well, we have to learn those tactics and in turn use them. It looks like we got a friend of ours, Thomas, on the line. He raised his hand with a question. Good afternoon, Thomas. You have a question for Kiriko.
Hey, Andy. How are you? Glad. Thank you for taking my call. Two reasons why I wanted to call in, because I remember your description of this gentleman and how he's taken startup companies and made them successful and all that good stuff, and I commend you for that. But what you just said was kind of interesting to me, and it's how machine, if you will, as Mike so eloquently put it, has exploited the vote of the young person. You know, they get out because they're all about this liberal agenda. Well, as Annie could probably tell you, I'm a little more blunt in how I look at things. And quite frankly, you know, what we need to do, if this is the path that these young people want to take, basically we need to say, okay, you want to make the decision to blindly vote for someone without having any information, you go ahead. But when you suffer the consequences of your choices, and you already are, don't blame us because we tried to be there. I think, and tell me if you agree with this, I think it's time for us to take a even more blunt and forceful stance on things and say, hey, enough is enough. You're always saying this to us. We have solutions. So either you want to listen to us or you don't. But at the end of the day, when something happens, don't come blaming Republicans and conservatives because you made your bed, now lay in it. What do you say about that?
Well, what I say about that is that that's a pretty good analysis of, you know, how it probably should be. Unfortunately, these people have to get it, and they just don't get it. I think they're starting to get it a little bit because he's losing a lot of the younger vote. They're not happy. And I think our messaging to them needs to be, look, you vote, you trusted this guy in two elections, and let's talk about the position that you guys are in right now. You're unemployed at the highest rates. College graduates are 25% of the unemployed people in America. There's no jobs. Your tuition, your school costs have gone up. Under this administration, you've been strangled, and things are just not good for you. Here's what would happen if we did this, this, and that, and here's why it would be better for you going forward. There's an opportunity now, but you got to have, like you said, you got to have a message with a real result. It can't be a broad message with some kind of an ending that you can kind of picture. You got to let them know, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen if you vote our way. If you keep going down this path, you're already there. Some of you are getting it. That's how the messaging needs to be. But unfortunately, there'll still be a large group that just doesn't get it because they just go along to get along, and that's not good. And that's kind of hard to overcome.
Right. And if, Annie, if I can, just this is kind of a follow-up question, kind of along those lines. You know,
go ahead, Thomas.
You guys were talking about you were talking about what we do as conservatives and how we need to utilize, you know, more social media a little bit, well, a lot of it. But one thing I want to ask you, and maybe I can, like, go to your website and get some more information, but how do we as conservatives really utilize social media and make it work for us? And the reason why I ask, because a friend of mine in IT created a new grassroots activist website, which I haven't told a lot of people about, but he made me the administrator, told me to grow the site. So I want to know, what can we do to, well, what can I do, what could I utilize to grow this site and, you know, really get in a fight using social media and live streaming? Because it has all those components, but I just want to know a strategy that's effective. That's my question.
The first thing you need to do is you need to identify who your target audience or your market is. And then you need to make sure that that messaging gets out to them. So if you're using Facebook, for example, I mean, they're very good about being able to target conservatives per se or whatever particular group you want. And your messaging has to go out to these people. So what's your target? Is your target all the young people? Is it just young conservatives? I think your message needs to be to the young voter, period, and not try to distinguish whether they're Democrat, Republican, or whatever, because that's how you're going to break them down, by telling them, here's where we're at, here's where we're going if we go this way, here's where we're going to go if we go that way, and then you slowly start converting some of them. But it can't be a one-piece puzzle. It's going to have to be a total blitz of everything in your arsenal. When Obama campaigns, he doesn't leave anything out. He looks in his weapons bag and he goes, I'm going to use everything I got. I'm not going to pick this one or that one. I'm going to carpet bomb my message. And that's what we need to do. But unfortunately, a lot of these leaders that we have in the GOP, and look, I tried to reach out to the Romney campaign and give them what my thoughts were, and they're like, no, we got this. We understand. Thanks for your help. Goodbye. They don't get it because they're still operating from 30 years ago. These are people that some of them don't even have a smartphone or even know how to use their email, let alone launch a social media campaign or a media campaign, period. And their messaging is, here's the problem. Their messaging is the way they think. They think because they get it that everybody else should get it, and they don't. Your message has to be simple, stupid, so everybody can understand it without thinking. Not everybody might be as smart as the guy that's thinking, well, everybody should understand this. Well, a lot of people don't. And your message needs to be, it needs to cut to the core. You got to go right down to the lowest common denominator, and that's the money. Are you making any money? Do you have a job? Can you pay your bills? Are you underwater? What's happening economically in your household? Are you making it? period. That's where it hurts. That's where you're going to get people's attention. And that's why people don't listen to the issues like the IRS scandal and the Benghazi thing, and they don't care. Because it doesn't affect them. It doesn't do anything for the position that they're in. You've got to either eliminate pain or create pleasure. That's it.
You know, that's funny because you're saying basically we have to reach their hearts. Because reaching the mind doesn't work all the time. You have to reach the heart. So you got to make the message personal, which is what I've been saying all along.
This is a fact. 95% of all decisions are made emotional. The other 5% are made by thinking it out and, you know, just weighing out the mathematics of it. And that's why every message is to be emotionally driven. You got to show the people that are out of work. You got to show the kids, the college kids that spent $100,000 on college or more that can't get a job. You got to show the people that lost their house because they lost their job. You got to show the industries that are no longer here and are operating in China, in India, and other parts of the world because we've got a 35% corporate tax rate and labor unions driving the high cost of labor up and driving businesses and companies to go to other countries. It's not the business's fault. Believe me, a lot of these businesses would love to stay here, but when you make it impossible for them to do business here, they leave, and that means jobs go with it. These are all the things we need to message. And then you're going to get to all these people that don't have any work, that have been unemployed, and they might get up and vote. And the other thing is with as many conservatives as we have out there, if every single one of them voted, there wouldn't be an issue, but we don't. That's the part of the problem also.
Absolutely. It's funny. TP in the chat room wrote that the young people don't even pay attention to the issues. They don't even know what Benghazi is about. And Paul taking on a college campus, she believes, George Mason, it was embarrassing. I'm not a big fan of O'Reilly. Sometimes he goes just to the liberal side of issues, which drives me crazy. But he's got this kid on it. being polite. I'm from the same area on Long Island he was from. But he has this kid on there, Jesse Waters, and he does some of the wackiest interviews. He went to a Lady Gaga concert, and I don't know if you saw that on TV last night, interviewing these people at the Lady Gaga concert. Some kid talks about Obama, and the guy goes, "Who's that?" The guy didn't even know who the president of the United States was. And that's
not surprising.
This is who he ends up pulling in to vote for him. They say, "Oh, it looks like a great commercial, so that's the person we're voting for because it's a flashy commercial, looks good." And that's another problem, especially here in South Carolina. Lindsey Graham's got these flashy commercials out there, and according to the commercials, he would have been one of the most conservative, pro-military person you ever want to meet, when it's exactly the opposite. And
you know what it's all about? It's all about the packaging and the message, okay? Let's just break this down to, like, maybe an item that you consume. You know, about 8-9 years ago, Wrigley's Gum took their Juicy Fruit gum that you used to buy for a quarter, and they put it in a special box with a number 5 on it, and it now costs $1.59. And it's the same gum that it was before. But they packaged it. It was cool. It has a little flip top, and everybody wants it. And they pay 5 times more for it. That's how this works. People remember the last thing they heard. They're too busy. They're working 2 jobs, 3 jobs, both the husband, the wife, whatever. They're all working. They don't have time to sit there they don't have the time or maybe neither the desire to really want to investigate the issues because it does take doing some homework when you hear things. That's why they blitz the media with these sound bites. You hear it over and over again, and then it becomes truth, and then you believe it, and then you go out and you act on it. That's the problem. But the problem is that they're great at doing that, and we're not.
It's funny. I got into a debate with a young kid going, "Oh, they're going to raise the minimum wage. This is going to be great for me." And blah, blah, blah. And he's dreaming about all this money that's going to come in. And I said, "Wait a minute. You're getting a raise up to about, you're saying $10 an hour, right? And you're getting what now?" He goes, "I'm getting $8.75. All right, so you're getting a $1.25 raise or $1.35, whatever it is. And I said, "Doesn't that change your tax bracket?" "Oh, I didn't think about that." "Doesn't it mean that now you're going to be paying more taxes on money and you're still going to walk home with the same amount of pay? So is it worth it? You have to work."
Not only that, but guess what else happens when you raise the labor cost? The price of the products go up. So isn't it relative? If you make $10 an hour versus $8 and the dollar menu is now $4 instead of $1, you're losing. And
absolutely,
you're paying more tax along the way. So it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. The market needs to dictate the rate. I remember in 1998, I opened up several gas station convenience stores, and I couldn't get anybody to work for less than $9 an hour because that's how the market was. Gas was 99 cents. Everything was great, you know, and people were like, I'm not working for less than $9. That's the market dictating the rate. Today, with you know, millions and millions of Americans out of work, guess what? That's the going rate, period.
Absolutely. And what's worse is I turned around to the kid and I says, you know, do you go to Subways? He goes, yeah, I eat there all the time. I said, are you aware they no longer have the $5 foot long? No, how come? Because they raised wages and now everything is costing more, and all the stuff they have coming in to make the sandwiches is costing more. They can't afford to sell a $5 sub at
you know,
a foot long.
You're
$5.
Exactly right. And coincidentally, I happen to own several Subways myself, and here's how it works. Food costs go up. Fuel costs go up. That means transportation costs go up. Then you have labor costs going up. Look, you can't have a $5 sub when it costs $8 to make it. It's not going to happen. Okay, and McDonald's and Subway and all the other fast food chains are struggling to keep a very low menu for customers because they realize that we're in a situation now where some people can't eat there unless they can get something for $2 or $3. But at some point, you just can't offer it anymore. And that means that you're going to lay people off now because you don't need 8 people on a shift. Now you only need 4 because business is down. Royalty fees are being paid.
How is it you can't afford this in your business? I mean, healthcare is free. We got free cell phones. We're giving out free groceries. Free
no,
television.
No, no. That's only if you don't work. That's only if you don't work. If you actually have a business, they squeeze you dry. The more you make or whatever you make, they take more because they need more money. So, you know, that's only if you're not working.
That's a great. I mean, this is just such a scam. This is, you know, going back to something you said, here in Michigan, when the Romney victory team showed up, everybody was from another state. And I thought, we have people in our own state here who have won elections, who are sitting in this room with me, who have won elections in Michigan. Yet these people were from Georgia or Florida, and I'm thinking, what a horror. Whoever's running this campaign needs, has no clue. I mean, and you know what?
You know what happened? You know what happened? They got on their high horse. They were all feeling good about themselves. They're full of themselves, and they weren't paying attention to the issue. At one time, they were all little one-trick ponies where maybe they did one big thing, and it shot them up to where they can get this position. But they couldn't their way out of a wet bag because they sucked, and this is what they did. And they misled everybody, and, oh, this is a landslide. This is going to be a landslide victory. And look what happened. They got their ass handed back to them. And that's that. And you know what the unfortunate thing is? I don't think they learned anything from it.
No, and they're going to pull the same thing again. Already they're shouting out, you know, you got Chris Christie, Jeb Bush, and oh, please don't get me started on Jeb Bush. My neighbor, I was talking to him today, and matter of fact, he's coming back on BTR restarting his show. And I said, did you hear the latest coming out of Jeb Bush? That he's got a new political idol. The one he wants to emulate. And I said, can you guess who this idol was? And he just looked at me. He goes, oh, no. And I said, how about a former president? He was a president from the state of Texas. He goes, Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson, can you believe this? This is the man he wants to be like? And he calls himself fiscally conservative and socially conservative?
Here's what I would say to that. I think what he's doing right now is he's doing things to get himself in the media, okay, getting people to talk about him. He hasn't decided what he's going to do yet. I think you need to look at his Florida record, whatever that may be, you know, good, bad, or whatever. I think that's going to tell the story about him. The comedy made about immigration where, you know, people do it out of love, you know, I think he did that to create headlines and a buzz around him. The same thing with this. This is part of his campaign, his pre-campaign messaging. He's putting out little messages to see what kind of a reaction he's getting, and he's feeling out what's happening. And that's what he's doing right now. So I wouldn't give much merit to that at this point. I mean, that's just part of what he's doing before he decides whether he's going to campaign or not.
Yeah, but to say that he idolizes Lyndon Johnson, the one that brought us, the welfare and all the other.
I hear you. I was disturbed when he made the comment about the reason that people come here illegally is out of love. Look, in case anybody didn't catch my name, it's not John Smith, and my parents came from somewhere else, but they came here legally, and they waited in line, and they worked hard, and they enlisted in the military, and they served the country that wasn't theirs yet, and that's how you do it. They could have came here illegally out of love, but they didn't, and there's a lot of other people that need to eat, too, out of love, but they're waiting in line. So I didn't care for that comment too much, and that's why I'm saying I think he's just doing these things to get some attention on him so people will be talking about him, good, bad, or indifferent, because come time for the elections, if he does decide to run, nobody's going to be talking about this, or will they even remember it?
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of us that are remembering it. And like I said, we put together this new No Rhino 2016, but we started off about a month ago with only 9 groups, and as of this week, I saw something like around 55, 56 groups have signed on in a matter of just 1 month. So I don't think that's going to be forgotten, honestly. But it's going to be interesting to watch as they – right now it's so early.
Early. It's very early, and like I said, what we're talking about today, we probably won't be talking much about, when the time comes. But honestly, I don't know what he's going to do. Whether he's going to run or not, I don't think. I just don't think a third Bush in office is going to go over. I just don't think that's going to happen.
No, and matter of fact, Joe Goldner, who actually ran against Debbie Wasserman Schultz down in Florida, says Jeb will not be a candidate and survive because of Common Core and immigration. Common Core is a huge, huge problem.
You see how they do their math.
Well, actually, there was one clever kid, I think it was a 9-year-old, and he went to take the test, and you know how they're telling them that they have to show how they got to this conclusion, even if it's wrong, they're going to get it marked right. And the kid actually turned around, wrote down the answer to the problem. That's all he did. He just wrote down the answer, and his response is under how he came to that conclusion. He said, "I closed my eyes, I did it all in my head, and I checked it, and it came out to be the correct answer, and that's how I did it." And they couldn't do anything. They could not fault them. They had to mark it the answer correct. He's smart.
Yeah.
He outwitted them. He actually
Isn't that great?
Outwitted them.
Yeah, that's where we're headed.
Can you imagine having a scientist using Common Core to put a rocket together?
Oh, yeah. That'd be perfect. Oh. Wouldn't even get off the launching pad. It'd blow up before it even got off the ground. And this is where we're headed.
Well, can we ship Common Core over to the Iranians? Maybe that might help. That's a good weapon, right?
I don't know. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. They're kicking our butts up and down on every issue, too. I mean, here we go. We released $80 billion in frozen assets. We gave them 6 months to do more developing of nuclear bomb materials. They're laughing in our face. They have our drone. They just recently released their version of our reverse-engineered drone that they captured 3 years ago when President Obama's response was, "Please give us our drone back. Please give us our drone back." This is sad. I mean, it's just one more example of what's happening here because of lack of leadership. Lack of leadership.
Yeah, and I had Chet Nagel on. He wrote a book called The Iranian Covenant. And at the time his book was released, Iran had actually tried to sail a submarine up to our coastline, and no one paid attention to it. The fact that they even attempted to do that, a sub that's capable of launching a missile directly onto our land. And we didn't even blink. And what is going on? And just why don't you just throw the borders wide open, which is of course what they really truly want, and just give away the keys to the republic, because the republic no longer exists.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
It is absolutely. Now we originally started off talking about the minimum wage, and as I was talking to this kid, debating the minimum wage, I said, "How many often do you go to the grocery store?" He goes, "I go there often enough." And he says, "Do you notice how many stores are putting in your self-checkouts?" He goes,
"That's right."
"Yeah." And he says, for every self-checkout, that's a cashier that, and a bagger who no longer works. He goes, I didn't think about that. And now I was listening to Andrew Wilkow the other day, and he says there's a restaurant down there that's completely automated. You go up there, you decide what type of toppings, what type of burger, and this and that, and it comes down these chutes. There's no one there to make it. It comes off everything mechanical. So you got no cooks. You got no waitresses.
That's right.
And everything's automated.
Yeah, and it's going to come to that. Look, there's even like ice cream and yogurt shops that are that way now. You go in, you pay a certain amount, and the machines are right there, and you just you mix, match, do whatever you want to do. They have now. They do that with wine now. There's actually wine bars where you buy a card and you use it like a debit card, and you go up and you there's machines that dispense everything, and you don't see anybody. And this is what's happening. Look, you know, I recently did – well, I've done several segments recently on national TV about this very topic, and that's exactly what I said. I go, you're going to force automation faster than it would have normally occurred when you force higher wages. And that's what's happening. And you look at the food markets. You look at the – you look at some of these convenience chains, you walk inside and they have like a little menu board where you type your thing and there's not somebody taking your order. And sooner or later it's going to get to that and people are going to go for what costs less, not necessarily the service. And then that's going to put more people out of work. And the more we become technologically advanced, that's going to put more people out of work. And they need to think about this because you just can't force a number. Where do they come up with $10 or $15 or $25 without even knowing what the debt service, the cost, the liability, the capital requirements that somebody has when they open up a business, the insurance, everything that goes along with that? How do they know any of it? They don't even bother to know that. They just say, okay, you're not going to pay $10 an hour. Well, okay, I'll do that, but I have to fire five people to do it. And
yes,
the prices are going to go up, by the way.
Absolutely.
And the very people that these Democrats are trying to help, the middle class, are the ones that are going to get kicked in the butt the hardest.
Very true. But you got to remember, a few years back, wasn't it President Obama who blamed the ATM on costing jobs? Do you remember that statement?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now he's the very one that's pushing
that's,
it more
that's
and more.
What, listen, that is a very profound and profound statement from a community organizer who's never owned a business, never operated a business, never had to be responsible or accountable for anything in business. So it makes perfect sense. This is what caused the problem.
Yeah, it's funny because back in the late 70s, I had owned a travel agency, and computers were just brand new. And when they started to come out, my partner and I were looking at different types of systems to bring into the office. And shortly after that, I began to look at the change of what was going on in the industry. And I'm saying, wait a minute, home computers are right around the corner, and soon everyone is going to have one. Right now, very, very few people have them because it's very expensive. And I thought to myself, and I says, you know, this business isn't going to last very long. And look at today now. How many travel agencies we have, I think, the town I lived in Westbury, New York, there was about six of them within a half-mile area, and only one out of all of them, when I went back 10 years ago, still existed, and even that was on its last legs. Everyone does it now out of the home. You know,
right.
There's no more. You're picking up the phone than having an operator that you actually speak to. You got automation. Right now, McDonald's is deploying 7,000 computer kiosks in Europe, and they're the ones that the workers wanted higher wages. They wanted to unionize. Panera is deploying kiosks. The McDonald's in Laguna Beach is already experimenting with iPads.
Yep.
White Castle in Columbus has deployed computer kiosks. Chili's and Applebee's are adding tablets.
I've seen them. They're right there on the counter. When you walk in, you don't even have to talk to the waitress.
No. There's a company called Nextep Systems out of Troy, Michigan. They have a touchscreen self-order systems, and it said sales last year were up 50% from the prior year alone. Lowe's and grocery stores, they all have anything with the self-checkout. And it's going to be smart meters on your utilities, easy passes on your cars, so no longer you have a teller there.
That's right.
It's going to be. But if it happens naturally, then people can migrate into jobs. You know, people that will leave will be the ones that are getting ready to retire, so the job isn't replaced. So then someone will look for a different field to go into. It happens naturally, but when they force the wage and it's mandated, then that changes the whole dynamic.
Right, because now you're forcing an immediate switch to automation, and there is no transition. It's just from not automated to being automated virtually overnight, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
So I lost my co-host, and I'm trying to look to see where he's coming back, but if not. But we'll find out where we're going next on this. Anyway, there's other ways that they're attacking our businesses. I don't know if you've seen this target on gun sellers. Right now they're saying that the FDIC is saying that they're high risks, so it's cutting off
their
credits. And Bank of America is already closing accounts on people that sell guns.
Yes. Yeah, they are. That's very true. And a lot of these gun manufacturers are leaving the states that they're not welcome in, and they're going somewhere else. And it's kind of a sad story. But the banks can do that if they want. And that's when people that are pro-gun should say, you know what, I'm not putting any of my money in your bank. And that's how the free capitalistic system works. And you have a choice. And people need to start making those choices.
Yeah, and now the Department of Justice has launched a Operation Choke Point probe looking at credit card fraud. And nothing's been reported. No one has said, my account has been, compromised by this gun dealer. But now they're just randomly checking to see whether or not there's any fraud happening. And they're looking to actually prosecute, gun dealers.
Really? So they should start with the Obama administration with Fast and Furious then, shouldn't they? I'm just thinking. That's the first thing that came to my mind, with thousands of guns that were purposely given to drug dealers and Mexican drug lords that killed Americans that are now still being found in the streets of America. Yeah, maybe we should start there. Oh, wait a minute. We can't do that because the highest attorney in the land was in on it, and he's not going to prosecute himself.
No. And that's what really gets me, because they're coming with the stuff with Lois Lerner. He's not going to do anything.
No, he's not. And you know what? And if the House holds her into contempt and then says, and then you have Boehner that says, well, there's a provision in the Constitution that would allow us to prosecute her, but we're gonna leave it to the Attorney General. The Attorney General's been held in contempt. Doesn't do anything. Why bother? If there's a provision, use it. Just because somebody else didn't use it doesn't mean you shouldn't use it. If it's that important and the highest office in the land won't prosecute, use it. Otherwise, it's pointless.
Yeah, it's putting the fox in charge of the hen house. No, you're putting the fox in the hen house.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And no one's doing anything about it. I mean, what can we do about it when you've got the highest law enforcement official? Where else do you go?
I don't know, but they seem to be interested in other topics that aren't maybe so important that they chime in on. I don't know.
Can't the state attorney general go after them? I mean, if Holder is so worthless. I mean, say, for example, the murder of those people in Benghazi, for example. Can't a state attorney general go for them since that person is a resident of their state?
No, but if some person, some sports personality comes out and decides that they want to announce that they're gay or whatever they are, the president gets right on the podium and at the Rose Garden and talks about that. Or if, the beer summit or, an unlawful arrest somewhere where he condemns the police right away without even knowing what's going on. He chimes in on everything except the important issues. That I find very interesting.
Yeah, and right now... Has a spokesman said Obama's mad as hell about the VA scandal? The VA scandal has been going on for a few years. He's known about it since 2009.
Right. His transition team was told in 2008, before he took over the White House. And he, I'm going to make this a priority, and we're going to get to the bottom of this. And this is exactly what he says over and over again each time. If he was so concerned, why hasn't he done anything in 6 years? Why is it always like he has to get his news from the newspaper? He doesn't know anything until he reads about it or sees it on television. He's a little disconnected. He's incompetent. That's gross negligence. And he'll do nothing about it. But he's mad as hell. He's mad as hell, everybody.
All over the news, even in the media, about the conditions at Walter Reed Hospital, about the waiting periods. Was it about a year ago? There was it wasn't Phoenix. It might have been San Diego, where they had the tape of the person in charge of the thing saying, well, if anything's over 6 months, just destroy the records as if they never existed. And this was a year ago. I think the year prior to that, it was where they were showing where all the records were in the VA that were just folders. Nothing was computerized, and the floors were sagging from the weight of all these files of records that had to be processed, that weren't processed. And there were three and 4 years behind, and he didn't know about this?
Listen, I got to tell you, I don't blame Obama for this at all. I mean, it's not his, it didn't happen like just when he got into office. But here's why I'm not impressed with him, because he made it a point to talk about it and say, I'm going to take care of this. This is going to be one of my priorities that I'm going to take care of right away as soon as I get into office. And he did nothing. Okay. So that's why I make it his fault. That's why I am critical of him on this issue, because he came out as candidate Obama and said, this is a thing I'm going to take care of. This is an area I'm going to address because it's important. And then 6 years later, he's done nothing. Now, had he not said anything, it wouldn't have been so bad, but he did, and he's done nothing.
And just about everything he campaigned on getting into 2008 election, he's gone on the reverse. I remember the point where he said he was going to cut the debt in half. I don't think that
he's outspent every president in U.S. history combined in his first 2 years. Are you kidding me?
And it's amazing. Just about everything he said he wants to do, he's done the exact opposite. He made himself sound like he was a conservative Democrat, and now we know the truth. We now know the truth.
Yeah, we got the truth, all right.
Yeah, and there's an article on the Powerline blog of who deserves impeachment more, Nixon versus Obama. Now, there's a subject to ponder.
No, nobody got killed during Watergate. No one.
Let's see. Withholding relevant and material and evidence in all scandals. Well, that's the same thing that Nixon did.
Yep.
Refusal to enforce immigration and drug laws. Let's see. Impeding lawful inquiries. Okay, that's Nixon. Tax record leaks. Let's see. Interfering with the conduct of an investigation for Nixon. Let's see. Fox reporter investigation on Obama. The FCC newsroom survey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The IRS targeting political enemies scandal. Now, that's funny, because at our Tea Party meeting, I was collecting names and email addresses to put on our contact list, and one gentleman was getting ready to put it down. He goes, is this an official list? And I said, no, actually, we're not a 501c3. And he looked at me and was like, wow. And I says, no, we're just a group of informal people that meet. And when we formed back in May of 2009, I can't believe it was 5 years ago. Time flies. But we had a debate. And at that time, there was a gentleman out in California that had this little rubber stamp, and he had on it tax cheat. And every single time he got what a piece of currency, he would put it right over Geithner's name. And it was ingenious.
You mean Timothy Geithner, the former treasurer, the secretary of the treasury, who when asked why he didn't pay his $300,000-plus tax bill, he said because the statute of limitations had passed and he didn't have to? That guy?
TurboTax, yeah. TurboTax Timothy. Well, they actually went after him, and they were auditing his records and everything, and they were trying to close him down by using tax laws. And I stopped, and I thought, and I said, now that is one of the dumbest things I have ever heard. You know, as a retired cop, I know defacing currency is defacing an official government document. They could have arrested him right on that. But they didn't go after him.
They could have, but they're not going to do that. You know, they're just not. You know, they're not going to do it. It's corruption at the highest level, all the way trickling down to the very bottom. And the attitude it's spreading across the country It's not good.
Yeah, so knowing that they were going to go after this guy for, you know, for something silly like that, and it's just, you know, you think, you know, the second they start doing the counter Tea Party movement, which was already starting to happen as early as May of 2009, I said, they will use the power of the government to go after us. And as I, whether or not it's an audit, whether it's going to be asking for the group's records, and I says, I don't want to put any other individuals, you know, on the line.
Right.
So it's one thing for me to put my name out there and put myself out there on the line, but I'm willing to do that for myself, but I will not risk someone else, an innocent person. So we decide never to become a 501c3. And
yeah,
I
especially
guess,
now.
Especially now. And
yeah.
This guy felt very, very relieved, and I said, don't. How are they? It's like trying to stab a bowl of water. You know, there's nothing to grab onto. And unfortunately, those that did do the 501c3, you know, they had their lives turned upside down. But
yeah,
this is the
did,
power of our government. And so then the question is, you know, who was the bad guy in reality? Richard Nixon?
First of all,
whenever you use
a government agency to advance political gain, that's a violation of the Constitution. It's not a minor violation. It's a huge violation, and that right there should be grounds for impeachment. Well, and there's so many instances where this president could have been impeached and should have been impeached and is not, because nobody seems to care.
No one does seem to care. And every time you turn around, there's another executive order. The executive order.
Hey, remember, he's got a pen and a phone. He's got a pen and a phone.
And I'm just wondering, he by executive order, he mandated that federal contractors must raise the minimum wage on their workers. Now, he's mandating individual private companies. Now, these are people that have contracts with our government, and those contracts have to be approved by Congress, and bills have to originate by Congress. So, actually, he changed...
Well, he changed Obamacare, too. Like I don't know how many times has he made exemptions and changed everything without congressional approval. And, you know, yeah, presidents do that, but this guy's excessive. And as far as that, you know, increase to 10-10 for federal workers, you know, maybe he can do that or he did do it, whatever. But here's what's going to happen. Yeah, the government contracts have to be approved by the Congress. That's fine. But you know what's going to happen? These contractors are still going to make the same margin. It's just not going to cost taxpayers even more to get the same job done.
So therefore, all bills of spending should be coming from the House, not the White House.
Yeah. But he's free to do whatever he wants, and he is, and he's unstoppable. And if Congress won't listen to me, Joe and I'll take care of it. I have a pen and I have a phone. I mean, he couldn't be more clear that he's going to violate the Constitution. He does.
Yeah, it does. And now with Obamacare. This is another thing, that the thing of unintended consequences, where hospitals are not admitting people. They're just keeping them there for observation, sending them home with a hefty bill. So that way they don't fall into that thing saying that I admitted them, and they didn't get well when they were released, and they had to come back. So now they don't want to pay the penalty.
We haven't even begun to see the effects, the bad effects of Obamacare, because it's not even fully implemented yet. But I can tell you this, already people are feeling it in their pocketbooks by having higher premiums, sometimes three times more than what they had before, and deductibles that are $10,000, $12,000, $15,000, $20,000. It's not going to work. And it's causing people not to hire people and causing companies to lay off people. And causing doctors to get out of the medical practice because they don't want to do it anymore. It's causing hospitals to close down because it's causing them to go broke.
Yeah,
this is only the beginning of a system that was 25% of the people didn't have insurance, so the other 75% were tossed upside down, and the system was destroyed. And at the end, that same amount of people will still not have coverage, according to the CBO.
Yeah, we still don't know how many people have signed up. And you still have exchanges that are not being created. The states have
been. And what about the price tag on that website? Yeah, that's right. Everybody's now dumping it. Everybody's loving it. What about the cost of these websites? My goodness, I would love to have been the company that got those contracts.
Well, actually, there was a couple of college kids, I think, out of Florida, and it took them a weekend, and they had put together a complete healthcare site, and they offered it. And they said, listen, it just took three of us here over a weekend. We'll give it to you for free. But the government never took it up. And these college kids came up with a completely workable website that would have, you know, covered Obamacare. We still would have
been able to. That would just make, that would have made too much sense if they would have actually listened to somebody that knew what they were doing. I mean, this just goes to show you how much just the government can't do anything correctly. Nothing.
No. It looks like I lost my co-host. He's had problems calling back in and out. I saw him flashing up and down the screen, so sorry about that. Want to welcome everyone that is listening to Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I see our chat room is full, and I welcome everyone there. We still have callers that are listening on their phones, and I welcome anyone who's willing to call in and ask Kirikos any questions. The phone number is 917-889-3675. I want to remind you that we're broadcasting simultaneously up on Kinetic Hi-Fi out of Charleston, South Carolina. We'll be up on Patriot Radio Network, as well as Tea Party Community and Stritcher, so we can always catch the podcast later on. You know, Carrie, I came across this article as I was doing my research last night, and I said, I have to throw this one in. It is just too darn funny. This was on the IllinoisWatchdog.org. Illinois is spending $1,166 per bird to bring in prairie chickens.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. The article goes on to say, a cash-strapped state government has found a new use for a fleet of aircraft flying birds into Illinois. State aircraft are flying to Kansas and transporting prairie chickens back to the land of Lincoln. And at a time, state lawmakers are looking at raising the state income tax. Illinois state employees have been hiking across Kansas, trapping these chickens. Some state pilots have flown between Illinois and Kansas not once, not twice, but 14 times this year, taking prairie chickens to downstate Jasper and Marion counties. And it goes
are
on.
Are they
to
flying
say,
first class?
Champagne included?
Yeah.
Illinois is the prairie state, and prairie chickens are endangered species here, so you thought it would be a good idea to bring them back, said Scott Simpson, the state manager for Prairie Ridge State National Area in Newton, Illinois. The feds, catch this, now the feds are getting into this, are chipping in $337,000 towards the program, and the state will pay $117,000. Some of the costs the state government may offset by private funding done by the Audubon. This puts the total cost of the program at almost $500,000 for the next 3 years.
What a beautiful use of taxpayer money, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Now, just think about this. They're saying that they're endangered species in the state of Illinois. Now, they're flying these chickens in. Can you imagine if one of these chickens now ends up on private property? And because now this chicken has roosted on this private property, and it's probably maybe someone's backyard or a farmer's field or something like that, now they can't use the land because there's an endangered species on the land.
Right, that's right. I think they might be doing that on purpose.
All right, and Thomas is raising his hand. He's got a question for you. Let me bring Thomas back on. Thomas, you have a question for Kirikos. Thomas? Thomas, I guess he's unmuted himself. All right, he's asking me,
Annie.
Are you there?
Here I am.
You there, Thomas? Okay, yeah. Ask your question.
Oh. Well, I was just wondering, how could a inspiring entrepreneur like me find a conservative business mentor like you? Who's conservative?
You know what? Here's how you can do it. You look up at your local SCORE chapters. They're all over the country, and there's many entrepreneurial groups in your area. You need to seek them out because that's where you're going to get the help you need.
I'm sorry. I had to mute Thomas. He's had a child something screaming in the background. So Thomas, he was saying, just look up a SCORE organization in your local phone
there's
book.
There's a lot of retired business people there that will help you and give you the help that you need. It's free. It's a subsidiary of the SBA. I've worked with them in the past. It's a very good organization. You can get a lot of experience help from them, and it doesn't cost anything to do it.
All right. Now, going over my notes, seeing that, you know.
And I don't want to cut it short, but I got about one more minute, then I've got to run. Just giving you a heads up there.
All right. Well, do you have any upcoming projects that we should be aware of?
No, but, you know, I'm just constantly the news at hand, the breaking news, the scandals, the Obama administration, and that's all I'm commentating and focusing on at the moment.
Well, if anyone wanted to reach you, you're up on Twitter and Facebook?
Yes, Twitter, Facebook, and straighttoprofits.com is my website.
Oh, straighttoprofits.com. I'll put that up for there. And Carol, I want to thank you for joining us, and I welcome you back.
Thanks
anytime.
For having me back, and love doing the show. I'll be back as much as you want me to come back.
All right, and I'm sorry we had a problem with my co-host, but you know, that's the way
that happens. But, all right, thank you again. I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
bye-bye.
Carol.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Kirko Zouras, and you can find him up on Facebook and LinkedIn, and it was a great pleasure having him here. Well, right now, I lost my co-host. Hopefully, he'll be able to get back in on the show. I want to welcome everyone, see people up in the chat room. We got Bigfoot and Anna and Joe Goldner, and we got our friend Cal. Cal, why don't you give a call in? We got our friend TP Nani and Thomas is up there, and Sweet Sue is listening in also. And we're always got Sweet Sue in our prayers, and hopefully that she'll be up and running the marathon. With that said, okay, seeing everyone up there in the chat room is making me very, very happy. I want to remind you that we are up there on Twitter, we're up on iTunes, we're up on Facebook, we're in Tea Party Community. And listen, if anyone is pissed off with Facebook, I'm telling you, you've got to check out Tea Party Community. They've got some of the best people up there. And, you know, if you ever go over there, just tell them I sent you because it runs exactly like it does on Facebook, but without all the BS, without any of the big problems going on. So take a look at it. And meanwhile, I'm going to be playing a song by Jeremy Dodge, and it's called Stand Up. So sit back and enjoy.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
United, we'll stand up, stand strong, stand tall, and we'll keep. inalienable rights are now considered to be a dispensation of government. And freedom has never been so fragile, so close to slipping from our grasp as it is at this moment.
I think it's time we stop. Hear what's that sound? Everybody just look going. Stop. Hear what's that sound? Everybody look at what's going. Stop. Hear what's that sound? Everybody look at what's going. Stop. Hear what's that sound? Everybody look at what's going. Yeah.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
All right. That was Jeremy Dodge. And we're down to our last 10 minutes on the show. And let me just bring Thomas back up and Sweet Sue. And Thomas, you're on. Nope, Thomas, your mic. Where's your mic, Thomas? There you go. Hello, Thomas.
Hey, Annie. How are you?
All right. How'd you enjoy speaking with Kirikos?
Oh, that was a pretty good interview. He had a lot to say. Now I'm just kind of creating a new page on Tea Party Community, even though I'm a part of a whole other website, but it's all good.
Oh, good, good. Well, then tell Tim Selty I sent you over. Hello, Sue. How'd you enjoy the show?
I can't really talk, Annie. My voice is gone, but I love his message and how we can get the message out.
Oh, thank you so much. So just letting you know, you still stay in our prayers and you take care of yourself. Feel much, much better, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Get some rest. Man, I feel so bad for her. Listening to her, my throat hurts. But she will remain in our prayers. You know, we're talking about those prairie birds, but, you know, you think about this. You know, you got these government agencies, you've got these people in government, and as Kiriko said, they've never owned a business. They've never had to balance, you know, their own household budgets or whatever. And here they just think that the public is a cash cow. But we're not. We're not a cash cow. And the people in Illinois should stand up and say, what the heck are you doing with our tax dollars? You know, right here in Beaufort County here in South Carolina, I'm going toe-to-toe with our county council. They decided that they're going to have a 1% sales tax referendum. But wait, there were no projects on the table. There were no projects already determined that had to be done, that must be done for the welfare of the county and the taxpayers. They said, let's go and go out to the public and go out to different businesses and companies and other county agencies and say, what would you like to see us do in the county? We'll put the projects together and we'll put it on a tax referendum and ask the people to pay for your dream projects. Now, how much does that make sense, guys? Does that make an ounce of sense? That's putting the cart before the horse. So now they're going to come up with a sales tax referendum. They had the last meeting on Monday night, and now they're going to, in those little dark rooms, they're going to go through something like almost $300 million in proposals. They're going to weed them out. They're going to come down with probably about maybe 5 to 10 proposals. They'll roll it into this tax referendum, and they'll throw it on November ballot and put it before the people and say, we have to do these projects. Well, listen, if these projects weren't brought before the county government and the county council beforehand, before you even dreamed up the sales tax referendum, then no, they don't have to be done. And that is what our word is going to be going out. And the people in this county, on south of the Broad River and north of the Broad River, we're getting together. And they got the taxpayers mad. And I'm telling you something. When I was there at my Tea Party meeting and I was talking to the groups that I was hosting, they was like, oh, my goodness, we've got to get together on this fight. They just raised the millage rates on our property taxes. They raised our property taxes already in September. They have a new budget coming up due July 1st. They're going to raise the millage rate again and claim it's not a raise in the millage rate. It's like a tax. It's not a tax. and then they're going to ask us for an additional sales tax. There's only so much money in my wallet, and they can't have all of it. They're not going to get all of it. As a matter of fact, they're not going to get one more red cent if I can help it. So you know what, folks? If you got something like that going out in your community, you start the grassroots up. Look at what your local city and county and town council is doing, and put their feet to the fire. Call them on the carpet. You know, let them know that you exist. Get up in their face. Go to the meetings and stand up there and do not be afraid with that microphone on. And our county council meetings are live on TV, so people can sit on home on their computer and see what happens. So find out if your council meetings are being videotaped. And if not, find out if they can be done. And if they are being videotaped, see if there are podcasts later on that you can watch. Our county council has it, where they put the podcast up. And I will sit there in the computer, and I will watch. And I'll say, all right, I wasn't able to make the meeting, but let me know what was going on. And I'll look at their agenda, and I'll read the notes, and I will call them on it. And right now, four of them and the county council is up for reelection. On all of the last meetings I had one of those running against the county council members before our group and say, hey, listen, this is the opponent for the person that voted for raising the taxes. This person is saying they will not raise taxes. The one that's sitting there raised taxes. Who would you rather have in there? And I'm telling you, I'm calling them on the carpet. And they know I am angry, and they know that I am getting people together to go after them. And we'll see what happens this November, which one of us wins. And I hope, for God's sake, it's going to be the people. We, the people, will win, and not the government bureaucrats. Well, that said, I'm getting ready to pack up my car and head on down to Florida in a little while. And I will be broadcasting on Friday from down out of Fort Lauderdale. And our guest Friday will be country music singer Doug Briney. He's coming back again. I think this will be his fourth or fifth appearance with us. I love people that repeat and love coming back on the show. He's got a single coming out. It's a new release. It was on his previous album, Super Country Cowboy. And we'll be talking to him about that, about his album that he released in 2012 and the new release and what is in for him and how he enjoyed the Country Music Awards and all the other good things that are happening to him since he became a superstar. So until then, I will see you all on Friday, and I wish you all a safe, healthy, and happy week, and say good night, and God bless, and thank you for joining us. Until then.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American. American, I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up and shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American, American.